morning, everybody. Monday morning, I said to Leanne, oh, we got to start this stupid show of ours. And she's like, yeah, it is a stupid show.
It's always been a stupid show. Nothing new.
That's exactly right. Can't accuse us of taking ourselves too seriously.
No, exactly.
How's your weekend?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask. You always expect something different.
I expect something exciting.
I know.
I'm trying to live vicariously through the Leanne that I think you are, which is like this woman who does all these crazy things and you know, female James Bond and
yeah, sure,
like all these different exciting experiences and gets around. And meanwhile, you just sit at home.
I wouldn't mind getting around, but no, I actually took on another role at work, so I think I'm doing the job of about 3 or 4 people now.
You got like. You're cosplaying? What's what you say role? You're taking on another role? Like, what are you, the daddy now?
Call me daddy.
That's what I imagine. I imagine fun.
I'm the boss and the secretary.
Those are your roles. Okay, so like, what do you mean another role?
No,
have you been promoted?
No. So, you know, it's brand new. So
they've given you more work for the same pay. Listen, you got to talk to me like I'm an idiot.
So that's why I had to sleep the whole weekend.
So more work, less pay.
No, same pay, more work, but more assistants coming in.
You've got assistants.
Yes.
How many assistants do you have?
One at the moment.
And you want two?
Three.
Ooh, you're going to have three. But then you see the thing that these idiots don't understand, and I don't know who these people are you're working for, but I'm going to assume they're idiots because most people are. Is they're going to give you three people to assist you, but then you spend all your time managing your assistants.
I know, it's a lot. But you know what? If you bring them in at different times, then they end up training each other.
So that's like those parents who have 10 children.
Yeah.
And they say to you, no, but it's fine. That by the time you get to number 5, they start raising themselves.
Exactly.
Is that what you're going for?
Yeah, so you get one up to a certain level and then...
By the way, it is an absolute fact that if you have more than 5 children, you start this out.
Yes, no, of course, because you've got to start smoking and drinking.
Oh, I saw a fly that had been squashed in the entrance hall, but it was a big...
Like a horse fly.
Like a big... Because it had blood. I didn't know flies had blood. I mean, if this thing to have blood, it must have been quite a substantial insect.
Oh, you know what I saw?
It's on the floor there. It's as I came in, I was like, not a good sign. First thing on a Monday.
I turned on my bathroom light and it's one of those old-fashioned bulbous, like a big fish bowl.
Yes, I know those.
And the insects get in.
They get inside it, yeah.
And then
they all gather at all the dead carcasses of the insects gather at the bottom.
Comes a cemetery. Feasting on the cemetery was a tiny baby lizard. I could see its skeleton. It was almost like an x-ray.
Oh, right, because the light was shining through.
Yeah, and it was still moving.
Imagine how fucking hot it was.
I know, I felt so bad.
That thing must be hungry as hell.
I felt so bad. Ugh. Baby lizard.
So you think you have a tough life until you realize the baby lizard in your light fitting.
And I thought about it all weekend and it
lives on a hot planet.
Oh, and eating off of biltong.
No.
Worse than bolt.
Desiccated. It's like dust, really.
As it leans out to lick it, it just goes.
Stupid show.
Oh, gosh, you see.
So, yeah, I had a very busy weekend. I was in Cape Town on Friday.
Oh, look at you gallivanting again.
Well, yeah, it wasn't really gallivanting. It was like into Cape Town, out of Cape Town again. It's like a easy lover.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And then I flew back on Saturday and I've just spent the whole weekend just kind of trying to catch up.
Mm.
Now that goes.
Yeah.
Because I know there was so much going on last week. We had a guest out here from the UK and we were taking him around and there were talks and various presentations and tours and all kinds of things. So it was like having a guest staying in your house, effectively. You know, you don't really ever relax because you're lying in bed early in the morning. You're like, I wonder if they've woken up.
And what they'll want for breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. And when you go to sleep at night, you're like, I hope they're asleep already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it feels kind of weird.
It does. It feels
It's like
bizarre.
When you try and sleep next to someone and you haven't slept with someone for a while.
And they're either hot or cold.
Or you're worrying about how they're breathing.
Snoring.
Or how you're breathing. Yeah, exactly. If you're going to fart.
Oh, exactly. Farts. Anyway, so it's been a hectic couple of days, and I just know there are some loose ends I need to tie up that I didn't do last week. So I'm dreading today. It's going to be like such a busy catch up day.
Just got to do it, eh?
All right. So are we going to address the shitty exit by Ben and Simcard on Friday, or we'll wait for them on Friday? Yeah, KB, we'll have to talk to them. I left them to do the show on Friday for the last half hour, and they didn't finish it. They wrapped up 5 minutes after I'd left. They were skiving off, those two. To find out what they were thinking. Anyway, Gene says, Douglas Murray, your guest, don't be modest. Yeah, of course. He's a huge, massively, massively important public intellectual, someone who has had an outsize effect, not because he doesn't deserve to have the effect that he's had, but that he is known all over the world. He stood in for Piers Morgan hosting the show for like 2 weeks. He's been on every major U.S. network. He is outspoken on a number of topics. And by outspoken, I don't mean ignorantly outspoken like so many people these pundits that every news channel gets. He really knows his stuff. And if he doesn't know his stuff, he just won't talk about it. So extraordinary. Good fun having him here. And we've got the interview up and running, and you can find it on the social medias, but you can also find it on Podcast Party, and then everything else is on The Real Network too. So it's all happening. We've got so much going on at the moment. Balls in the air. I'm trying to catch my breath, so give me a second if I'm not there yet. Okay, hope everyone had a fantastic weekend, says Marco. Yes, and you. The app sounds like something isn't plugged in. Well, we're trying to figure that out too, because sometimes you come in on a Monday, and like all the machines have gone on a weekend as well. All the machines have been like partying it up over the weekend, and then none of the machines are switched on and back in their positions.
Maybe they're on the Monday. Owls.
I'm telling you. With 10 kids, says Leanne, you either start smoking and drinking or homeschooling and blogging about your wholesome life on the prairie. Sourdough recipes and gentle parenting.
Yeah, there's a lot of that at the moment.
Oh, I made such a mistake.
You didn't have a child, did you?
No. I went on X, and you know, I'm new to X again because I haven't been on for like 4 years. Yeah. So I'm relearning it, and it's changed a bit. I went on and I got into a rabbit hole about Kate Middleton.
Oh, I know. These conspiracy theories.
I mean, like, I watched 1 5-minute video, and then all it's sending me now is Kate Middleton stuff. And I'm like, guys, I'm really not that into it. I just wanted to see, because Pumi brought it up the other day. And I didn't know any of this stuff. And then I see like British members of Parliament are going on, and they're all posting these theories about how Kate is, she's in hospital and she's sick and there's something terrible wrong, and that's why they're hiding her from us. And I mean, it's something else.
There's only one theory, I believe.
Go on.
And it's come from a few women who are her age. And it happens to a lot of women who've had like 2 or 3 kids, sometimes even not. But there's something called colitis, which is like, I think it's these like polyps that appear on your colon. So,
how rude.
Basically, you have to cut out the colon, right?
Oh my God.
Then you've got to take the end of the colon and make another poop tube.
Oh my God.
And a temporary bag inside. So it's not like a colostium bag.
That's horrible.
But it stays inside. So you go to the loo normally. Now, the thing is, like these women say, which princess on earth would want people knowing
about their assholes?
And putting up infographics showing how, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what's probably happened. And just leave the woman alone.
Carl says, I mean, if they take only half the colon, it's a semicolon. But there's something going on because, first of all, like Prince William has always been a little bit sullen, but he's downright grumpy. Like, I haven't seen a photo of him. And look, he's clearly taking strain.
He
has to run everything and manage the family and kind of all of that stuff without his wife if she's not well. So he's obviously, he's got a lot on his plate at the moment.
And his dad's not hundreds either.
Yeah. And people are talking about whether or not that is terminal. too. And if it is, I think they should just tell people. It would get him a lot of sympathy. It would help. Just, you know, people in the absence of information, and I'm in no position to offer anyone else PR advice, except to say that were I in that situation, it would probably be best to just tell people. Like if it's, you know, the king is not well, he's not going to make it. He's not around for, he's not buying any green bananas, put it that way.
Yeah.
Then at least you know what you're in for, right?
But do you, if they say it's terminal and maybe you've got, I don't know, 3 to 6 months to live, do you want billions of messages from around the world for your last 3 to 6 months coming in?
Of course you do. Well, what would you rather? What would you rather just carry on pretending you're not? Everything's fine. Whistle
but
past the grave.
That's what the royal family does.
I know, but this is what's got to change. And with this Kate thing, they should just say, listen, she's got a terrible condition and we're sorting it out. I'm going to give you the details because it's not your business to know what's actually wrong with her. Mm-mm. But this is what's happening. So that in the absence of information, a bunch of lunatics, which is what the internet is composed of, is lunatics. Mad lunatics.
They're FBI.
Yes, they're insane. They think they can solve every court case ever brought. They think they know the answer to every question. And they're not. They're all mental patients. Mm-hmm. And the internet will proliferate with theories if you don't give them information.
And the media will feed off of it.
And even when you give them information, sometimes they're going, oh, they're covering it up. It's not true.
Or it's worse than what they're saying.
Yeah, but whatever. Anyway, listen, I don't understand. If he dies now, it'll be the shortest reign. Also, will they donate his fingers to escort to sell his sausages? Carl.
I'm sure there were kings in the past who were like on the battlefield and the king died and then the son was made king and then he died on the same battlefield.
Yeah, no, there were some very short-lived
reigns.
There were some very short reigns in history. I don't think his will be the shortest, but it hasn't been a terribly long time. Look, I mean, he might be fine, but they've got to tell people this. And maybe they have. Maybe they've said, well, it's cancer, but they managed to catch it and now he's okay. And he's in remission. They might have said that. I might have missed it. I don't know. I'm not paying that much close attention. But I went down this rabbit hole. The next thing I know, I'm being served every other conspiracy theory on Earth as well. Mm-hmm. So now the abominable snowman is back. Now Nessie, the Loch Ness monster, is coming. The aliens have arrived.
Zuma's becoming president.
That might be so close that it's uncomfortable. Joe Biden is like an animated corpse. Donald Trump is controlled by the Jews. You know, there's some theory going on about everything. I cannot believe how busy people are with this stuff. They clearly have very little to do.
And I mean, those are big conspiracy theories. There's smaller things, like if somebody shows a video of a man who was on a bachelor party, and he's the bachelor and he was too handsy with a stripper, which has now happened this weekend.
Oh, yeah. With who? Just some dude?
Just some random dude.
Oh, God. And someone's filmed it and put it online.
Filmed and put it on. Now the sleuths are out there.
Trying to find this guy's wife to tell her.
Because they know his name is Daryl with a Y, and he was at this hotel.
A local South African guy?
No, American, of course.
I was going to say, you know what? Put your phone away. What's wrong with you? I mean, so eventually I had to stop myself.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to put this thing down. Lying in bed, it's like 10 in the morning. And I'm doom scrolling.
You're wasting your day.
Like, this is stupid. I need to get out of this. And I just put the phone down. I thought, I'm going to have another half an hour. And I went back to sleep for half an hour. Then I woke up and I started my day. Mm. Nice, lazy start to Sunday. You know, and my life was better before I knew all of this shit. Because then there was the story. I mean, you can really get caught. Before you know it, you are entirely absorbed in what is going on the screen. There's this, you brought up the Bachelor's thing. It made me think of something that came up in the feed. I don't know how this stuff gets chosen. Because most of it was not even interesting to me. So the algorithm is pretty stupid.
So the thing is, because you haven't been on for a while, it's still learning you again.
It's sending me lots of very, okay, well, that explains it. So then it sends me this video of this dude and his wife, and they've just got married, and they're about to dance, and the bridegroom, no, the best man picks up like pieces of the cake and he's like trying to smush it in their faces. And the groom gets really pissed off and just like decks him. Just like knocks him out. And the best man goes falling down. And I watched that and I laughed. Maybe it's watching my reactions. I don't know. Because then suddenly it's sending me like all these violent videos of like women like pulling each other's hair in the street. And like
it's trying to see what you're into.
And I don't want to watch this. I'm like, no. I want to see women beating each other up. That's not what I said I wanted.
So be careful.
Oh.
If you watch the whole video, it's going to think that you liked it.
Oh, no.
And obviously, if you like it, but like it.
Then I didn't like it. No. I'm carefully. See, I assumed it was just, if you watch the whole thing, then it thinks you like it.
It's my theory, but a lot of people's theories, actually.
But you want to know what happened.
I know. You want to see how stupid it is.
Oh, God.
Do you see the same stuff is being served on TikTok? Oh, it's just, they're just different platforms. The thing is, it comes to TikTok first, then it goes to Twitter, then it goes to Instagram.
They've got to ban TikTok. They must ban it. It's enough. Ban it.
Well,
the Americans are banning it.
Yeah, but it'll take a while.
Yeah. The app is definitely not working, according to Carl. Get that James to do his job. Yes. All right. Gareth, have a child. Your doom scrolling time gets interrupted all the time, says Leanne. Yeah, maybe. And listen, the day I can't control myself doom scrolling and I need a child in my life to stop me from doom scrolling, I think my priorities are fairly messed up by that stage. Janet says they should spice things up and make Camilla queen. She's already queen. It would certainly make me want to follow the antics, says Janet. Well, she is queen. I hate to break it to you. She has been since last year in May. Jared says, I'm on Twitter plus minus 4 hours a day for work. It's true. If you watch one slightly violent video, five clips later, you're seeing someone die. It's wild. Mm-hmm. See, I don't want that. I really don't. I don't mind if it's like people who fight. But there was this incident in America last week where this high school girl like beat this other girl up and like smashed her head into the concrete. And then she died in hospital like 2 days later.
Jeez.
And you think to yourself, holy shit, man. I mean, like, I would never have heard that story.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been some local village story, you know, lunatic maniac child beats other child to death or whatever. But it would have been in the local news because it's not a national story. The rest of us in the world are not affected. It's horrible, obviously, but none of us are affected by it.
Yeah.
But now you get everything from everywhere has to be as equally important. And you're like, the brain is not, our brains are not, I don't care who you are, our brains are not big enough to take on all of this.
There's no space.
And then you start thinking, oh, I saw that girl beat that other girl. The world is a terrible place.
You'll hear one other story and you'll go, you see, this is happening more and more.
Yeah, it's a pattern. And your stupid primate pattern-seeking brain is going, oh, look, all the information, let's gather it all together. And the next thing you know, you're like depressed about things. Don't let it get to you, please. It's really bad. If you can't stop scrolling, then you are the child, says V-Rose. Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. A small PSA to parents of small kids. I've uninstalled Instagram and cutting back hugely on the socials. I have way more capacity for my actual present life. That's very good. I don't say anything but good for that. That's excellent. We're on mute?
Maybe it's the app?
No, sugar. We're not on mute. Hate to break it to you. You're deaf.
He didn't mean sugar as in, hey, sweetie pie.
No, it's his name. Sugar Chabalala, you need to go to your doctor. You're deaf. You're a deaf. You are a deaf. I think that's how it goes. I don't know. I just make it up, like all those sign language people. I watched the guy in the news this weekend. I'm like, you're just bullshitting.
Well, there was that one guy who did make it up.
Yeah, of course. And he's ruined it for everyone.
Yeah.
Right? Helen says, Gareth is an excellent ape. Yes, I know. I went to see a play at the Market Theatre yesterday, Expelled. It was so good. It's all about phones and social media. That's what B says. Sure. Okay, well, I mean, listen. Sugar says, I fixed it. It was my fault. See, you were a deaf for a minute. Lindy says, I watched documentaries about volcano eruptions and now they're all over my feed. I'm not complaining though. Listen, I started following this channel called like Terrible Nature or whatever. Yeah. I don't know what it's called. It came up as one of these things over the weekend. And it's like about landslides and earthquakes and just really awful, awful shit that's happened that people have caught on film. Like this whole mountain that just disappears. Slide down. Now, I drove out this morning and I thought, duh, there's a mountain that wasn't. It's affected me in my deepest understanding of how the world works to the point where I'm now waiting for a volcanic
eruption.
I mean, you know, South Africa, we're like on the safest of all the tectonic plates for all this stuff. We have the least amount of that sort of a dramatic activity. And yet I'm now, because of watching these things, I'm primed for it, you know. So ridiculous.
And the dreams.
Oh, so ridiculous. Right. Anyway, watching from China. Love your content, Gareth and the team. Are you allowed to watch us in China? Are you allowed? China.
China.
You got to see. You almost said it like him. Try again.
China.
China. Yeah. Oh, shit. I got to plug in my computer. Will you just speak among yourselves while I do this? Because it says to me, your Mac will sleep soon unless plugged into a power outlet. So I better get that.
Hurry up. Goodness me. Goodness me. But yes, the volcano stuff is real at the moment because Iceland has erupted again. Unbelievable footage. I don't know. They've got these cameras like high up on poles in the sky. They're not drones because they're fixed.
Poles?
Yeah. Over these villages so that people can watch their villages while they come under this lava.
Why would you want to do that?
Well, they're monitoring. I mean, like, can we go back to our village?
Oh, I see.
You know, okay. Is my property destroyed?
And this is in Iceland. So they've got huge poles with cameras at the top.
I was trying to fit them.
So you have to be those. You have to be a first world country to be able to afford the poles with the cameras at the top.
To watch your...
We don't have those. To watch your village be consumed by lava.
Yeah.
It's great. Can't do anything about the lava, but you could watch it from home on your PC or your laptop or your phone.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great. Imagine that. Hey, you know about the Ingvar? Ingvar, our whole village is going to be completely consumed by the volcano here in Iceland. Oh, that is terrible. No, but you can watch it in real time. Here we go.
Sitting there eating popcorn. Yeah, like lovely. Salted shark.
Lovely. Yeah. What is that terrible stuff called?
The fish.
Surströmming. Surströmming. Apparently, that is the most disgusting thing. Now, there's another.
That'll end up on your feed soon.
It's going to come up because it's listening to us all the time, right? Oh, my God. Woody says, I told my colleague, sometimes I feel like walking like an orangutan, the way my arms were starting to feel numb. Then she's like, what's an orangutan? Oh,
dear.
Wow, that's bad. Maybe you work with some stupid people, Woody.
Unless maybe they're Afrikaans, you should say orang-utang.
Orang-utang. It sounds so much worse in Afrikaans than it does in English. What's a thing is it? It's an orang-utang.
Utang.
Oh, my God. Okay, James is going to come in and give us the sport in a minute or two. But this is nice. Thanks, Cyber Rags. You've really made our morning. Apparently, the planet is overdue a massive volcanic eruption.
Well, it's starting in Iceland, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Let's not aim for that, shall we? And then this is interesting. What is up with the heat in Gauteng? Now, I always think it's extremely boring to talk about the weather, and we try to avoid it, but it's inevitable sometimes. And this weekend was so goddamned hot. For the first time in my life, I've seriously considered like taking out a loan just to buy aircon. And then I thought, well, it's already March. What's the point? Like maybe for next summer, if it keeps getting hot like this.
Well, look, it's going to get hotter. We can see the grass.
The earth is just going to boil over. We're going to be like that lizard in your lamp. I know.
So I would suggest getting it done in the middle of winter because that's when it's going to be the cheapest.
You think so?
Yeah.
It'll be cheaper to do
the aircon. That's,
really?
Of course. You buy it for your fans in winter and your heaters in summer.
Do you think that they really adjust them, the prices?
100%.
Huh.
How do they make that fan so cheap in summer? Because the heaters How do they make fat? I'm very, yes. How do they make?
You really need to think this through before you. I think you're making it all up. Everything.
One of my new roles is not business manager.
Because apparently, I mean, we had an energy expert in here once who said to me that the best way to heat your house if it's very cold in the winter is also using those things.
Yes, aircon as well.
Right. So.
And just dehumidifying in general.
I mean, when you have electricity, it's nice to have that stuff.
Yeah, because that's not going to work during on solar or load shedding.
Mm-mm. Not a chance. Half my stuff doesn't work. They stole cables at my house. No, not just my house, but the whole neighborhood. They stole the cables in the road over the, I think it was on Thursday. So luckily I was in Cape Town on Friday anyway. I didn't care, but I was hoping when I got back on Saturday that they'd fixed them. And they hadn't until Sunday. So now when I run out of power and the batteries on the solar die, then it goes beep, beep, beep the whole night.
Oh, no.
Which is really nice if you're trying to get some sleep. It's really great. Oh. It's the best sound in the world. So now it's not only the punishment of we didn't have power, the cables were stolen, it's fucking hot and I can't get to sleep.
Mozzies.
But also the solar going eh, 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 the whole night. I can't tell you how much I wanted to use my gun on my solo. I really did. I very seriously thought about it. I'm gonna go to the gun safe.
Because you can't unplug it, right?
No. Nothing you can do.
And then with the heat, there's no water in large parts of Joburg.
Yeah, listen, if you're one of those people who's been dealing with that.
But how stupid is this? So as you know, I still own a home in Melville. I'm still on the WhatsApp groups there.
Yeah.
They had no water for 9 days.
You love neighborhood WhatsApp.
I hate it. I mute the groups and I go on once in a while.
She always says that, but she loves it, everybody.
I have to just check that my house isn't burning down. But there was no water for 9 days, right?
Yeah.
And they did, Joburg Water sent out a press release explaining how the Eikenhof Tower works. And
by the way, Panyaza Lesufi said he's going to have it sorted by Friday. We're going to hold you to that, you motherfucker. You say you want to go, you want votes now for the election.
Yeah.
We'll hold you to that. If you get it all sorted out and people in Joburg are paying attention, if you get this sorted out by Friday, it's massive points for Panyaza Lesufi.
It's not
right?
going to happen.
No, but if he does, let's give credit where it's due. If he can put pressure on the right people to get this thing fixed, then he can keep the pressure up if we elect him as premier.
Literal water pressure.
Yeah. But if he doesn't, and this is the big caveat for you, Panyaza, you don't do it, we're coming for you.
So eventually they did more investigation and they found that somebody had left a valve off. So they turned the valve on.
Yeah.
And people have water again after 9 days. Same thing happened where I live now. There was no water for 3 days. They found out yesterday at 5 o'clock someone had not turned the valve on.
That's really, really irritating.
Mm.
But you know what's even more horrible is if people have left their taps open. Because this has happened a lot.
Lefty loosey, righty tighty.
But I've heard a lot of very horrible stories about people who, you know, the kids often will like turn open the tap and then they'll leave it and oh, well, there's no water. And you're away for the night or whatever. You go out for supper you're asleep.
Mm.
And then you wake up to the three flats underneath you that are basically flooded because your kid left the bathroom tap on. This is a very bad situation. Let's put it that way.
Mm.
Now you also have to think, okay, well, if the water's off, I better go around and make sure everything's closed. And then you are standing there going, which way is closed and which way is open? You know, this is not the kind of thing that we have time to deal with. People have got a lot on their minds. And I see someone, Bronwyn says, you could turn the beep off in the settings of your inverter. Somebody send me screenshots of how to do that. Please. I'll be very grateful. Just send it to my email. That's because I don't want to bore everyone else with this shit. But I don't want that low battery beep, beep, beep thing going all night long. It's really not. It's not a great sound to fall asleep to. So if you can help me, that would be amazing. The irony of a solar system annoying you while there is no sun. Brilliant. Yes, absolutely. Aircon plus liquid raid equals no mozzies, says Ted.
What's liquid raid?
It's that. It's the stuff that you put on a plug, and then it like gets. It's an anti mosquito.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
No, I just imagined him spraying liquid Raid in front of the aircon.
No, like, what did you say?
Sounds pretty dangerous to inhale.
Well, yeah. Look, there's James. Look, there he is.
I am James.
All right. So, well, you got some sport for us?
I do.
Go on.
It's been quite a weekend of sport.
All right. This is all brought to you by Superbets. By the way, if you haven't done this, and I took a couple of bets based on Ben's recommendations on Friday, and one of them I did very well on.
Wow.
Yes, nice. But by very well, I mean, like, for me, it's winning 50 Rand. You know, some people win much more than that because they take a bigger risk. But there we go. I bet some money, 50 nice. Bucks I made.
I've quit
betting on the lottery.
I've quit betting on football because it's just become so unpredictable.
Maybe you're bad at it.
That's probably
maybe
also
it's not
there.
The football, it's you. Okay.
Sorry. We're going to start with rugby. Just got to clear our throat on Monday morning.
Go on. What do you got for us?
Let's start with the Six Nations and rugby. Ireland are the winners of the Six Nations. They played Scotland.
Right.
17-13, Ireland won there.
Yes.
Wales played Italy. This game was interesting, though, because at halftime, Italy were 11-0 up. This game ended 24-21 to Wales. Then France, England. France beat England 33-31, which a little bit of an upset there. But France obviously coming out tops. Moving on to the football. My throat's doing that thing again.
Oh, my God.
You know, I'm really bad at this.
Had a very rough start to his tenure here.
I have.
Don't make excuses, Leanne. All right, go on.
So in the football, we'll start off with the Champions League. The draw happened last weekend. So we've got some interesting quarterfinals coming up. Arsenal taking on Bayern in the first leg at Arsenal home on Tuesday, the 9th of April.
Hey, Ricky says Italy won, James, not Wales.
What did I say?
You obviously said it wrong.
Italy did win 24-21. And then I said Wales were 11-0 at halftime. Italy were 11-0 at halftime.
People are saying you got it wrong. So, okay.
I got to do better.
Just read what you've got written in front of you. Don't make it up in your head.
I got to do better.
Go on.
I'll do better. Tuesday, still sticking with Tuesday, the 9th of April. Real Madrid take on Man City in the other quarterfinal of the Champions League.
I notice you're not wearing your Liverpool shirt, James.
Yeah, I was getting there. The boys didn't do so well this weekend, but we'll get there in 1 second. Wednesday, 10th of April, Atletico Madrid versus Dortmund, and then PSG versus Barca on that same Wednesday. Those are the other two Champions League games coming up. So the Champions League heating up quite nicely. Other games that heated up quite nicely and then got very cold very quickly yesterday. One of them being the Liverpool game. Liverpool went into that with all the fire and all of the strength.
And what happened?
We walked away with a 4-3 loss. This is what happened, yeah.
Very depressing.
Yeah,
it's still close.
I'm sorry to depress you.
That's why I'm wearing a black shirt.
I'm sorry to depress you, but we're all out of antidepressants.
Yeah, that's good old Harry Enfield.
Oh, man.
So yeah, sad day for Liverpool fans, hence the black shirt. It represents my emotions, and that's just what we're going with.
All right.
Chelsea took on Leicester, also Chelsea winning that one 4-2. City took on Newcastle, comfortable win for them 2-0. And then Wolves took on Coventry 3-2 to Coventry, which was quite a surprise.
Hey, Ricky says I saw Sia Khaleesi was sitting next to Sir Alex Ferguson at the Liverpool game.
I didn't see that, but I saw his wife was there.
Okay.
At the game.
That's nice. Sia Khaleesi, he's a worldwide celebrity now. He's not just a South African rugby player. I mean, since the World Cup, everyone in the world knows him.
He's often with Liverpool's manager because they're both Adidas athletes.
Ah, so is that why they're together?
They hang out quite a bit. Yeah. Right.
Go on.
So sticking with the FA Cup and the fixtures coming up now that there are teams out. United have an easy run to the final against Coventry City. And then City take on Chelsea. Those two games to be confirmed date-wise. But for now, it's the 20th of April is what they're going for. And then lastly, in the world of golf, Scheffler has won back-to-back players' championships. More than one, Scotty Scheffler became the first man to win back-to-back players' championships with a superb 8-under-par 64 on Sunday, giving him a one-stroke victory at the Players' Championship Tallgrass.
Very good.
That's The Sports Wrap.
And if you want to get some more Beyond the Scoreboard weekend sports recaps, you can find out on Friday from Ben. It's all brought to you by Superbets. And Superbets, S-U-P-A-B-E-T-S, they support responsible gambling. Strictly no under 18s, and winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline is 0800-006-008. Don't place your bets, but make sure you know what you're doing. That's the way to win. All right, and then Liverpool sucks so much, says Yonder. They lost 4-3 against my weak team. They just lost the league as well.
But that's, well, the first one's true. We didn't just lose the league, though. We'll get the league. We'll get there.
Okay. Thank you, James. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
guys. All right. Have you ever been to Liverpool? You definitely would not look at that team with such rose-tinted glasses, and the same goes for Manchester. Yeah, they're horrible cities. Let's be fair. Horrible, terrible cities. You've seen Liverpool and Manchester?
I've never been, but
you're not missing anything. Yeah, you don't need to. Trust me, you do not need to go to either of those shitty towns, cities. They're just awful. Awful, awful. If you live in Manchester or Liverpool, it's like living in, it's like the PE of Britain. Really. I saw there's this YouTube channel where people like submit videos from all over the world and all over South Africa, and then they get put together into like these compilations. Mm. And then it's like South Africa on Wednesday, the whatever, the 13th of March. And it's like these videos of Pater Noster. And there's a place called Deben.
Deben.
D-E-B-E-N. I mean, it must be
Deben.
It must be like Deben, but because it's D-E-B-E-N, I'm like Deben.
Deben.
So I'm like, well, how could they call it that if they know that there are a lot of people who call Durban Deben? But there's an actual place called Deben. I didn't know this. Look it up. It's going to make your whole day. Anyway, the reason I bring this up, people upload all these bullshit videos all the time. And there was someone who'd uploaded a video from PE.
Oh, dear.
And I looked at this and I was so, like 5 seconds of seeing it. And I was depressed. I was like, I couldn't live in that place.
Are they just showing the city?
It's just terrible. There's nothing redeeming about Port Elizabeth at all. Just horrific. Mm. It's horrific. It's like if Satan did town planning. The best way to put it. My God. Nonetheless, if you are interested in any more sport, you'll just have to wait until Ben comes in on Friday, or you'll just have to find it out yourself. But you can find out more by going to cliffcentral.com. And follow the links. You can also sign up for Superbets and give yourself a chance to win. I did enter because Gord Laws always goes on. He goes on these mad appeals for people to win money on the lotto.
Well, nothing's not mad with Gord.
He's completely mad. He said to me, I need to have a chat about podcasts. I said to him, oh, why? Why do you contact me? There's so many people you could talk to. No, I really need to talk to you. I've got some ideas around. It's tomorrow, right, Monday, anytime after 9. So now I'm waiting for him to call me today.
Gosh.
Just remembered. Anyway, Gord Laws, he seems to really like the lottery.
Oh, yeah?
Like whenever the Powerball is a huge amount of money, he gets super excited about it and starts posting on Instagram. So I thought when I saw his post, I'm like, all right, let me have a whirl.
Give it a whirl.
So I took a little lottery bet. And I didn't win anything, obviously. I win more on Superbets, to be fair. But I thought of Gord. I'm like, why is he so into this?
Are you asking me or do you know the solution?
No, I don't know the solution. Next time we have him on the show, I'll have to ask him. But he's big on the lotto.
Mm.
And normally I don't get persuaded by anybody, even people that I know. With Gord, like on Friday, I thought, oh, I better be in on this.
So a colleague said to me on a smoke break the other day,
mm.
That, okay, how many numbers are there in the lotto?
I have 5 or 6, I'm not sure.
Let's call it 6.
Oh, you mean like the total numbers, 50, it goes up to 50.
No, you were right the first time.
Okay, how many balls are there? Yeah.
So let's say it's 6. He got the first 5 right.
Oh.
Okay. So he says to me, I almost won the lotto. I got 5 of them right. So I said to him, dude.
That's incredible.
How much did you win?
Yeah, because you still win something.
So he goes, I don't know yet. And he's like very casual about it. I said to him, well, how much was the lotto for? So he says, I think it was about 3.5 million or something. So I said to him, you need to find out.
Yes.
He said, I don't think I'll win match at all. I said, I've got like two numbers right and you win 50 Rand or one number
right. So he could be a millionaire now.
My next question to him was, if you do win the money, would you tell anyone? And he said, no. And I was like, but you've just told me.
That's stunning. This guy's not very smart.
Yeah, look, he's been away. He comes back on Wednesday, so we'll see if he comes back or not.
Mm-hmm. No, you must.
But for that amount of money, you've got to come back.
The key is you have to carry on.
Yeah,
it's part of the deception. You can't allow people to know that you've won the lotto. They'll be lining up at your house asking you for money. Yeah, I know some very rich people, and their whole life. Is trying to find ways to avoid people who want to ask them for money. Because the minute people think you have money, they flock. They line up outside your house. They phone you the whole time. They're messaging you. They tell you about their deep personal problems, their physiological problems, their psychological problems. And suddenly you are burdened through no fault. You have no relationship with these people. Maybe they met you once at a gala dinner. And the next thing you know, that they're all over you, telling you their deepest problems, and you have to try and solve them just because you made money in business or something.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible. No one deserves. Just do not tell anyone if you're rich. Just if you, let's say you do the best deal of your life, it could happen to you this week. I wish it would happen to you. If you're one of the people who's listened to this show for years and you're a big supporter of what we do, I hope you end up with hundreds of millions of rands. I really genuinely do. Not because you deserve that for listening, but because you deserve that for being the kind of like-minded people that I would like to see having a lot of money. But no one knows.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want that.
Because it's up to you to look at people or friends of yours and say, I know how to help this person.
Well, maybe we should ask Dr. Hanan. By the way, he's dealing with load shedding as well. I said my cables got stolen outside my house this weekend. Well, he's dealing with it. You're in the car?
I mean, where else? I mean, my office is way too dark, unless you just want to hear me and not see me.
What a rachmonis. You have to sit in your car.
Here he is. That's funny.
Here he is, the best psychologist in Joburg, and he's sitting in his car like a homeless person. All right, Dr. Hanan. So listen, we can go into the thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and maybe we can get to that, because James has got a question. This is our James here in the office. But screw him. Who cares about James's problems? I want to address this thing of, like, I was just saying to Leanne, if you're a rich person or if you're the richest person in your family, forget about being the rich person. Let's just say that you have an extra 5,000 Rand that the rest of your family doesn't have. And they all start coming to your door and begging you for money. This is a big problem. And there may be people listening to us right now who are dealing with it this morning. You don't have a lot, but someone has less than you in your family, and now suddenly they see you as Father Christmas.
Yeah. So, I mean, it happens in a lot of families where suddenly you have more than a family member. You know, parents have been looking after you, siblings have been supporting you, maybe your children have been supporting you. Suddenly you have more than you've had before, and now they feel entitled to a piece of it. On a consequential level, you got to set healthy boundaries with people, because human nature, if you set a precedence and you give, then people want more because they assume that you are the tap that keeps on giving or the gift that keeps on giving. So setting boundaries, healthy boundaries for you is vital for the ongoing relationship. Remember, you're setting precedence, you're setting dynamics, you're setting patterns and expectations. So if you're going to give, just assume that this is something that you're going to continuously do. And if you're happy with it, then go for it. But if you're not happy, then set the rules of the game from the start.
Well, I mean, this is also interesting because a lot of people feel almost an obligation, right, to help someone because their family, and every family has one. Every family has some charity case that we have to help along, right? And sometimes that person starts to expect that is your responsibility. So they may be an adult who actually has a job or has a pension or has something, and then it becomes everyone else in the family's job to look after that person, which doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. You don't want to become an enabler. You don't want to assume the responsibility of the one that takes charge, and suddenly you enable the person to stop working hard for them. You just understand that you run the risk of victimizing someone, because when you keep on giving and they keep on taking, then there's no reason for them to step up, step out of comfort zones, do more. So just ensure that you understand that that once off that you think is out of kindness, and it could be out of kindness, could actually make them weaker in the long run. Like the whole story of, you know, to give somebody a fish versus teach them how to fish.
Right.
So the moment you give something, just make them lazier.
All right. So Dr. Hanan, here's the question from James. And I actually think this is a good question. Otherwise I would have, you know, mostly things come from James I ignore, but here we go. He says, there's a certain percentage of people that believe depression isn't real. And you know that there are people who think this, people who think that depression is just, you know what, that's called being a human. And depression is something, it's a circumstantial thing that you should feel depressed when someone in your family dies, or, you know, you feel enormous financial strain, or you've got a health concern and it's driving you to the point where you can't stop thinking about it. So there's that question. And what is the difference between a mental illness and just having a tough time in life when it comes to depression? Because a lot of people get onto antidepressants, but maybe they're just going through a tough time, and it's probably important for them to feel some of those negative emotions. We've got to a stage in society, and this is why I think this is a great question from James. We've got to a stage in society now where when anyone deals with any difficulty at all in a first world scenario, they go, oh my God, I need to medicate this. How do you deal with that as a professional?
So there are many aspects to the term depression or mental illness, and we can slice it in many different ways. But I'm not a fan of labeling anybody in a way that's unhelpful to them. It's depression and anxiety is such a loose term now that it's kind of diluted its meaning. Everybody goes around and saying, oh, I'm so depressed. Everybody's going around and saying, I'm so anxious. I mean, how many times in the day do you hear your friends and colleagues and people, you know, on social media going, I'm so anxious? You don't hear people going around saying, oh my God, I'm so diabetic. So with medical disorders, it doesn't fly. But with psychological disorders, suddenly everybody's an expert on all these labels. And I have an issue of labeling yourself in ways that are unhelpful to you. I'm a real stickler for definitions. What does it mean when somebody says when somebody says I'm depressed? What does it mean? When somebody says I'm anxious, what does it mean? Because it could mean a billion different things. That's a difference, by the way, between psychologically diagnosing yourself versus medically diagnosing yourself. So for example, if you say I'm diabetic, everybody knows what that means. There's clear defined definitions for what it means to be diabetic. And if you step out of those definitions, you're no longer diabetic. But with psychological diagnoses, it's so general and it's so fluffy and it's not really well defined that anybody that suddenly they didn't sleep well, or they had a bad phone call, or their boss shouted at them, or they saw something on social media that they didn't agree with, suddenly they fall into the category of depression. And who can argue with them? Because I dare you to go to them and say, you are not depressed. You know, so we kind of diluted this term. And the difference between kind of normal, let's call it, feelings versus mental disorders, the way I would define it is if there is great friction between where you are and where you want to be, that means there's something there that needs to be resolved. I don't want to give it a label. It could be maybe an old pattern. It could be a relationship that gets in the way. It could be a habit that you got to break. It could be a fundamental core belief that you have that stops you from getting from point A to point B. But I would caution anybody to label themselves in any way that's unhelpful to them. And I want to give you an analogy, which I think will make this clearer.
Just say that again, Dick. And I think it bears repeating. There are probably some people who are listening for the first time this morning and they make this mistake. I have too. Don't label yourself with something that's going to be unhelpful. Don't give yourself some kind of disability that you don't have.
Well, don't give yourself the title that makes it even more difficult for you to get from point A to point B. If you're going to label yourself...
By the way, Doc, I mean, I just want to expand that if you don't mind, and you can correct me. I'm not the professional. You are. I want to expand that by saying, don't think you're a victim. If you're not, don't assume the mantle of victimhood just because it's cool on social media, because what you're doing is you're telling your brain and you're telling your system that you are designed to be less than, not to be better than.
Yeah. Well, to your point, Gareth, being a victim enables you to stop in your comfort zone. So it gives you permission to go and stop and not expand, not develop, not improve, not adapt, because I've got a reason for where I am. It's because of my genetic makeup. It's because of mom. It's because of dad. It's because of my childhood. Let me tell you, everybody's got a story. Everybody can connect the dots backwards and find reasons and justifications for why they should not succeed, why they should be in a bad relationship, why they should be addicts. Everybody can connect the dots backwards in that way. Right. And I would advise and suggest it to anybody to not go backwards and connect the dots and justify why you are where you are, but rather look for solutions to make yourself better. So going back to don't label yourself in any ways that make you worse. If I take my car to a mechanic and the car's broken, mechanic one doesn't diagnose the problem. Mechanic two diagnoses the problem, but very generally goes, well, the car's broken. Mechanic three diagnoses the problem specifically, and he goes, well, the car's broken because the right front tire is flat. Mechanic one that doesn't diagnose the problem cannot fix it. Mechanic two that diagnoses the problem very generally cannot fix it. It's an illusion of a diagnosis. Because yes, it's true, the car's broken, but what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything, and it doesn't empower the person to go and deal with it. The only one that can actually go and fix the problem is the one that labeled it specifically in helpful ways. Because once I know the right front tire is flat, I can create a framework to go and deal with the actual problem. And we do exactly the same things in our lives. So we go, well, I'm depressed. Okay, yes, but what does it mean? I'm anxious. Okay, fine, but what does it mean? I'm insecure, I'm frustrated. Let me ask you, Gareth, if a friend came up to you and said, Gareth, I need your advice, I am anxious, what would be your first question to them? Maybe not you, Leanne.
Don't ask me. Bad idea.
Leanne, if a friend came up to you and said to you, Leanne, I need your honest advice, I am sad, what would be your first question to them?
What are you sad about?
Exactly. You wouldn't just accept I'm sad, because that's unhelpful. And if they said to you, I can't tell you what I'm sad about, well, you will go, well, we are stuck. Let's go figure out exactly what is the thing and let's label it accurately so we can create a framework to go and deal with the actual problem. But for some reason in our lives, we kind of accept I'm sad and we leave it as is. I'm anxious and we leave it as is. We give these generalized statements or these generalized diagnoses, which leaves us completely helpless and disempowered.
I love that answer. Okay, I think there are a lot of people who are going to benefit from just what you've said now. And look at Dr. Leanne Moll here with all the right answers. So we were basically diagnosed the other day with being the third most miserable country in the world. I don't know if you saw this survey. I wonder what it is that makes us miserable. And I mean, we've got lots of circumstantial reasons, but there are a lot of countries with huge trouble. I mean, don't tell me we're more miserable than Afghanistan. Don't tell me we're more miserable than Iraq or Syria, which are actually in the midst of a war. Why do you think South Africa did so badly on the most miserable countries in the world survey? That was on the 18th of March.
So again, what does it mean we are the third most miserable country in the world? Miserable when it comes to comparing to what and to who? I don't even know what that
I don't know. Apparently, we're also the fourth fattest country, and I mean, we could have to do with, like, we don't have electricity and water half the time. That could be a big part of the problem.
But you know what? That's exactly my point. So, look, if I told you, Gareth, you are depressed, right? So I diagnose you, right? I give you a label, you're depressed. And I want you now to go back and look for reasons of why I'm right. I call this go fishing. And people can always go and find reasons for why they have the label they have. If I say to you, Gareth, you're anxious, and I want you to go back into your history and find out reasons why that's right. Well, you'll find a million reasons and a million ways to connect the dots. And I can do this thing if I say, Gareth, you are grateful, or you're happy, or you're excited. You can do exactly the same thing again.
I got a problem with you. We've only got like a minute to go until 7, Dr. Hanan. You were meant to come to our event on Wednesday. What the hell happened to you? I didn't see you in the crowd. Did you sneak in and sneak out again?
Jeez, you know what? I'm such a big fan of Douglas Murray. It just suddenly came up. I had to stay late to work. I would have loved to, but I saw that.
You know what? You have no integrity. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Hanan. I don't want to talk to you ever again.
Trace the dots backwards.
At it with you.
There's always something.
I've got reasons. Hold on. Let me just tell you about my childhood.
The last invitation you ever get from me, all right?
Let me tell you about my childhood.
Who's got the time?
My genetic makeup and my...
Go to hell. All right, so that's it.
You think you have it bad? Wait. Let me tell you about my background.
All right, so basically you're one of those people who says, yes, I'm coming, and you don't pitch.
No. I can't believe you looked for me.
I was there. You were busy.
I was there.
I scanned the crowd. I didn't see you.
I said goodbye. You were just drunk. Okay. You were just drunk.
Bullshit. What a lie. That's called projection. All right. Thank you, Doc.
Thanks, guys.
How's that? He just didn't pitch. How's that? Invite the guy and he doesn't pitch up. Your psychologist. Monday morning. Talk about unreliable. All right. Very good. Leanne Moll. We're going to have some news in a little bit, but you know what? Mm-hmm. Just because it's Monday and we haven't had him for a while, Borge is going
so
to be
glad
with
to
us.
See Borge.
George Meany is coming to sit with us for a whole hour and be part of the show. So he's not going to sit here and bring his stuff about cars.
For 5 minutes.
No, he's going to be part of the show for a whole hour. Lovely. So Tim, we've got to try this. It's going to be lots of fun. All right, let us get into it. We will be back in just a moment or two with a whole lot more. Stick around, cliffcentral.com. It is Monday morning.